What's going on, everybody? This is JVB. You're listening to a New York Giants edition of the Post Game Report podcast. I was in the Philippines for a month, so that was really unusual because I had to depend on Twitter Spaces in order to keep me informed as the New York Giants were playing. Now, in order to do that, I had to wake up 3, 4 a.m., so it was really weird. So big shout out to the Big Blue KO podcast. I listen to their Twitter Spaces all the time. I know I'm going to get reasonable takes. I may not agree with all of them, but at least it comes from a place of common sense and some real freaking adulation for the New York Giants. They want to see the team improve, everyone who is in these Twitter Spaces. Now I go on other Twitter Spaces once in a while, and I definitely don't agree with a lot of the stuff I hear on some of those Twitter Spaces, but we are all fans of the New York Giants. So whether I agree with you or not, that's okay. Growing up, some of my friends, even though I grew up in the Bronx, some of them liked the Mets. Some of them were Jets fans. Some were 49er fans. So we didn't all agree, but that was okay. And so I still listen to some of their takes. Some of them are freaking hilarious because they come from a place I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like La La Land, you know? It's like, what the hell are you guys talking about? And some, they come out volatile, but they do make sense. And I do agree with the basis of their arguments. So all in all, it's just really fun to see that more than ever, I am able to interact with fellow Giants fans that aren't from my neighborhood or my friends, my circle of friends. Unfortunately, with that, and not just football, but when you give people a platform, you just don't know what you're going to get. And a lot of times you get the most moronic content you will find ever on the internet. But thanks to the Big Blue Knockout podcast, I was able, in their Twitter Spaces, I was able to listen to their reactions. I couldn't see the games live. What was really impressive, though, the Giants did defeat the Eagles in the last game of the season. I believe I talked about that in one of the episodes, that I would love to see that happen. And I would love to see the Giants do it at home, while the Eagles needed the game. They needed the game in order to stay in first place or fight for first place. The Cowboys, unfortunately, won that as well. So it was nice to listen to the guys and gals just have a good old freaking time as the Giants were defeating the Eagles. It hasn't been that easy for the Giants, and victories over the Eagles have been far and few in between. So it was really nice to hear the commentary and how certain players were playing, and they were still playing tough despite a losing season. And then you have all of the drama between Wink Martindale and Brian Daboll, and even Kafka. Like, there's some type of issue with disagreements and personality clashes, and Wink Martindale retired or resigned because some of his assistants were fired. Brian Daboll had to fire one of his friends who happened to be the offensive line coach for the New York Giants, and a lot of people wanted him fired during the season. So we're going to have a lot of new faces. I believe the Giants did hire a brand new offensive line coach from the Raiders. And from what I was able to read about him, he's a very intense individual. and is able to get the best out of players who aren't as talented as some of the other offensive linemen in the league. Some aren't even familiar names. And the Raiders were able, for the most part, especially in the later stages of the season with a rookie quarterback, that offensive line seemed to open holes for the running game and protect the pocket or form a pocket for the rookie quarterback. So Aaron Pierce, you know, he became the interim head coach for the Raiders, and things just seemed to go towards the right direction. And by the way, he is now named the full-time head coach. So he's a former New York Giant. Of course, he's a former Washington player. But he made his name with the New York Giants. And he is a New York Giants legend because he helped the New York Giants win a Super Bowl. So, of course, people like Campbell from the Lions, he's a head coach. They're in the playoffs still. Aaron Pierce, Bill Belichick, those type of New York Giants who are from the past, of course, you root for them. And most importantly, you root for them because they made some type of impact as a New York Giant. And for the 2023 season, the type of impact some of the players on the New York Giants roster, well, some of them are now free agents. It was easy to cheer for a lot of players on this New York Giants roster. Of course, I'm talking about guys like Dexter Lawrence, Saquon Barkley, Xavier McKinney, Bobby Okereke, Kayvon Thibodeau, Deontay Banks. The list goes on, you know, and I mentioned a lot of defense because there were some very impactful defensive plays, especially by Bobby Okereke. Jason Pinnock had a long interception return, but it was due to Okereke and being smart and dropping back in zone, deflecting a pass against Miami. Pinnock gets it in the end zone and he runs for a touchdown. So defensively, it seems like the New York Giants do have pieces to build around. When you have a player like Dexter Lawrence, you have that foundation on the line, on the defensive line. It doesn't get any bigger than Dexter Lawrence. Then you have Kayvon Thibodeau. After that, you have A'shaun Robinson, who's a free agent. He came on towards the end of the season. But those are more 3-4 players, right? They're more fitted for a 3-4 scheme. At least A'shaun Robinson, he can play a 4-3 front. Do we bring him back? Is he going to demand more money? Or is he simply going to say, you know what, you guys are going to have a new defensive coach. I don't want to deal with a new defensive coach. Wink Martindale is a very well-respected defensive coordinator, very popular guy. So I could see a lot of New York Giant free agents simply saying, thanks, but no thanks, I'm leaving. So in my opinion, what the New York Giants have to do on defense, because despite having some games against the Rams, the Eagles, and having somewhat successful, you know, they played defensively some challenging football or competitive football, not challenging, but you need more impact on that pass rush. Ojulari, the last few games, he seemed like he was getting his feet back under him, but he is not dependable to stay healthy. When he is healthy, he is a dangerous pass rusher. He can come back as a situational guy. But the Giants need a full-time defensive end to go along with Kayvon Thibodeau. because it's easier to block two potential pass rushers. Well, two established pass rushers, because Kayvon Thibodeau had about 11.5 to 12 sacks. I don't know how the NFL officially counted his final few sacks. And then Dexter Lawrence, he's good for 6-7 sacks. And that is deadly. And not so much the sacks, it's the pressure, it's the disruption that he causes on every freaking play, whether it's a run or a pass. You need to complement those two guys. You're going to need a defensive end that can hold up against the run and possibly disrupt the traffic on running plays so that the runner goes back towards Dexter Lawrence and Kayvon Thibodeau. And then you're going to need another defensive tackle to go along with Dexter Lawrence. Davidson and the rookie, I forgot his name, I apologize. He's a 7th-round pick. He had an okay rookie season. Those two guys, they're backups. There is no way the New York Giants can depend on those two. Even though Davidson did have some impact plays, but after he got injured against the 49ers, he wasn't the same. Obviously, he injured his freaking elbow because the lineman dragged him down and freaking nearly popped his elbow out. Of course, it wasn't called. But that's besides the point. But anyway, the Giants got to shore up that front line. Plain and simple. There's an opportunity that we might see a 4-3 front, and the Giants are going to need to be more flexible with their defensive line. They can't depend on three huge defensive tackles lined up on a 3-4. They can't do that anymore. And then, fortunately, the Giants do have a Pro Bowl / All-Pro caliber middle linebacker in Okereke. So that is going to eliminate a lot of, and this is something that I talked about in the beginning of the season, or maybe even during the offseason, when I was talking about Kayvon Thibodeau versus Aiden Hutchinson, and how Hutchinson and the Lions were able to score. They score way more points than the New York Giants. I mean, a lot of teams do. And because teams that faced the Lions, sometimes they were behind and they had to pass the ball more. And the Lions had more athletic linebackers at the time. So more athletic linebackers allow the pass rush a little more time to get to the quarterback. And of course, having the lead, that also helps. This year, you saw that the New York Giants had more athletic players in Isaiah Simmons and Okereke. And the tight ends were not destroying the New York Giants this season like we've seen in prior seasons, where every freaking play, if a team needed a first down, they just simply dumped it to the tight end because they were wide open. This season, that didn't happen quite as often. And that allowed the pass rush to get there. And you saw that Kayvon Thibodeau was in double figures this season. Despite the fact that the New York Giants rarely had a lead, the offense rarely outscored their opposing team. So there was no situation where the Giants are up by 20 points and the opposing offense needs to pass on every down to catch up, and the pass rush can just freely let loose. There was no situation like that. So, big props to Kayvon Thibodeau. He wasn't a consistent threat rushing the passer. Last season, he had way more pressures. But then again, this season, they had to pay more attention to him especially since Ojulari wasn't on the field for a lot of the season. So you take care of Dexter Lawrence, who can destroy double teams, by the way, and then you put a little extra help on Thibodeau, and he still gets double-digit sacks. You need to be impressed by that. Thibodeau, he works hard. There were questions about his desire for football. He has killed that bullshit narrative. He has killed it. So, Thibodeau, he is more than capable against the run. He can rush the passer, and he has a little bit of cover skills. But I don't want to see Thibodeau back in zone. I want to see him rushing the fucking passer. So maybe we might see Thibodeau next season, depending on the type of defense, the type of defensive scheme that the new coordinator is going to run. We could see Thibodeau rushing the passer a lot more. Hopefully the New York Giants are scoring more points on offense. And we might see 15 to 16 sacks out of Thibodeau. That would be freaking amazing. Of course, you're going to need another pass rusher to allow Thibodeau to have one-on-one matches. So, do the Giants bring Isaiah Simmons back? Especially if they're going to play a 4-3 defense where he can have a little bit of protection against blockers and he can roam free. That's the only way that Simmons can be a full-time starter at linebacker. He needs that protection from the front line, from his defensive linemen. They have to eat up blockers. So Dexter Lawrence is constantly double-teamed. So do you bring him back? I guess it depends on the defensive coordinator and what type of defense they're going to run. McFadden, he had a way better season than he did during his rookie season. He still missed a lot of tackles, and he's still a liability in coverage. But he will get playing time. He could maybe even become a starter. He improved by leaps and bounds. So you have to assume that he's going to improve again in his third season. You would just hope that the defensive coordinator that comes in knows and gives him the best opportunity to make plays. Because he did show McFadden, that is, that he is capable of disrupting a running game. The kid was all over. There were times he was all over the place making some big plays. And there were talks of him and Okereke being the future, you know, duo at linebacker. You know, at times, McFadden was looking like Gary Reasons. And if we could get Gary Reasons, like a Gary Reasons type player out of McFadden, that is a success for the New York Giants. A guy who is under the radar, he can play enough in pass coverage. He did have an interception. He is always around the ball, and he doesn't give a shit about his body. He'll fly to the ball and make a tackle. Sometimes he'll miss, but he'll disrupt the play, and that's all you can ask for. So, if McFadden becomes a Gary Reasons type player, then we do have a starter. Would a linebacker unit or a starting unit of Okereke, Simmons, and McFadden, would that be a considerable linebacking core, starting unit? Possibly. You know, it wouldn't hurt for the New York Giants to either sign someone a little more dependable with more starting experience or draft a promising linebacker out of college. I'm not following all of the draft prospects. I would assume that the linebacking, especially middle linebacker, I would assume it's not as deep as some of the other positions. you don't have a freaking Micah Parsons out there at middle linebacker. So I would love to see maybe another linebacker come back. And I think it would be Isaiah Simmons. It would be Isaiah Simmons. He has that athletic ability that is rare at the linebacker position. He doesn't, you know, he's weird. I guess because of his speed and acceleration and then his size, he's 6'4", 230 plus pounds. When he freaking makes a tackle, he there's a thud behind that tackle. Sometimes he doesn't wrap up properly, but he does get to the ball pretty freaking quick. He did have an interception for a touchdown as well. It would be nice to have Isaiah Simmons back. And then in the secondary, Adoree Jackson is a free agent. Xavier McKinney is a free agent. McKinney, I remember everybody was talking shit about him in the beginning of the season. People just totally ignored the fact that he's still recovering from that hand injury, trying to learn how to play with it. And then the second half of the season, he became the Xavier McKinney that we all freaking remembered in his second season. And he is now going to demand some good money. He is a very versatile safety. He does miss a few times when it comes to tackling, but he played every freaking snap this season, and so did Okereke. And number two, he was getting interceptions, athletic type interceptions with a bad hand. So that means he learned how to hold on to the ball and how to confidently jump routes. The last interception I believe he had against the Eagles was out of bounds. Well, no, actually it was the first one against the Eagles. He had a tiptoe on the sideline while he was falling out of bounds, and he still held on to the ball. He was running full speed to make the interception and still had the athletic ability to keep his feet in bounds before falling out of bounds and holding on to the ball with a messed up hand. So that tells me that he was finally feeling, as far as the hand, he was finally feeling confident enough to go all out and let his instincts do the talking. I would love to see him back as well. He has to be a priority. Pinnock had a good season. Dalton, he came in to fill in for Pinnock. He made a few plays. He actually made an impact against the Rams. Is he a kid that can step up next season? It all depends, once again, on the defensive scheme. And then you have Deontay Banks, who was a rookie this season. He excelled as a rookie. He's a physical kid. He is athletic. He's fast. And most importantly, he seems like a smart defensive player. So having Deontay Banks as cornerback number one and not having to worry about that, that is a huge freaking deal for the New York Giants. You have Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau on the line. Okereke on linebacker, at linebacker. And then Deontay Banks at cornerback and Pinnock at safety. Those are freaking, that's a good foundation of players. You need to sign the proper players around them. You need to bring back guys like Xavier McKinney. He's going to demand some money. He did play well. And then offensively, that is where, and I brought up the defense first because it was a little easier to talk about the defense. There's more players to build around than you do on offense. And of course, it all starts with the quarterback. Daniel Jones, when he was playing, was not effective. He's still a danger with his legs. He can still deliver accurate passes. But something along the way happened that maybe it was that first game against the Cowboys that just destroyed his confidence, which is not a good sign. I had a lot of expectations for Daniel Jones. Of course, other things needed to happen for Daniel Jones to meet those expectations. And I'm talking about wide receivers getting open. And most importantly, the offensive line blocking. The pass blocking was atrocious at times. And once again, we're talking about this shit. Another year of talking about fixing the offensive line, but let me stick with the quarterback. So the big debate is whether the New York Giants at pick number 6, this upcoming draft, should select a quarterback. I'm on that train. Bring in competition. If you have a promising prospect sitting there at number 6, you select them. And then you deal with whatever you need to deal with as the season goes along. That is why Joe Shane gets paid. That is his job. That is the coaching's job. So I remember the days of Bill Parcells and George Young. They would draft running backs, even though they had starting running backs. So for example, they have Joe Morris. They have Otis Anderson. They have David Meggett. But they still drafted Rodney Hampton. On the offensive line, they went ahead and drafted Eric Moore in the first round. The second round, they drafted Jumbo Elliott. Linebacker, I spoke about Gary Reasons. But guess what? They wanted to improve their depth and possibly improve their starters, so they drafted Pepper Johnson. And it goes on and on. What I'm trying to say, and the same thing with wide receivers. Even at quarterback, I remember when they drafted Dave Brown and Kent Graham. Of course, Dave Brown was a supplemental pick. But the thing is, the Giants back then with George Young and Bill Parcells, they were drafting at positions of strength and building it up even more. You look at the 2007 season with the New York Giants, where you had Michael Strahan, Jason Pierre-Paul, Ossie Umenyora, and I can't believe I forgot his name, number 91, just had it in the tip of my tongue. But you guys know who I'm talking about. That is 4 legitimate pass rushers. 4. And we're talking about 1 with Kayvon Thibodeau on this roster right now. And that ferocious pass rush was able to carry them throughout that playoff, throughout the playoffs that season. And actually, it was the reason why they won the fucking Super Bowl. They could have said, oh, we have Michael Strahan. We don't need another pass rusher. No, they just kept drafting pass rusher after pass rusher. So the Giants need to do that. They did it with the defensive tackles, where they had Linval Joseph, and then they had Tomlinson, and they drafted Dexter Lawrence. They were able to let Joseph and Tomlinson go and still hold on to Dexter Lawrence. The Giants need to do that. So, you have a quarterback who is under a big contract. That doesn't matter. You bring in competition. You bring in a guy that is a Joe Shane and Brian Daboll guy. And you let them compete. You let them compete. You have Daniel Jones coming back from an injury. Worst case scenario, he's starting for half a season while the young guy, the rookie, is learning. Or, if the New York Giants are fortunate, you have a rookie quarterback who is better than Daniel Jones off the bat, and you don't have to worry about starting Daniel Jones because he's that damn good. The rookie is that damn good. So either way, it will benefit the New York Giants. And then, hey, my perfect scenario would be Daniel Jones comes back healthy in training camp in the first 4 games of the season. Daniel Jones is playing solid football. He is playing well enough to stay as a starter. But in behind him, the rookie is also ready to start some games. So what I'm trying to say is you use Daniel Jones as trade bait. Similar to what the what the Patriots did with, and for those that don't know, I do have a brain injury, so I forget a lot of shit as I'm trying to talk. All of this is unscripted, so, which is worse. I should maybe write down some stuff. Garoppolo. And by the way, the defensive end that I was trying to remember his name, number 91, Justin Tuck out of Notre Dame. And see, that's part of the traumatic brain injury I have. I will remember stuff a little later. So bear with me. I know it is frustrating to listen to somebody who can't remember shit. So I apologize about that. But if you're still listening, thank you. So bring in an extra quarterback, not a free agent who is going to be a backup. Draft a potential starter at number 6. Or move up if you have to. Get the person, get the player that you want if you're Joe Shane. Just the way they did when Eli Manning was selected by the New York Giants. They had a trade up. They drafted Phillips and then traded with the Chargers. Phillips for Manning, gave up some assets. And guess what? Eli Manning won 2 MVPs during the Super Bowl. And he's a legend. He's a New York Giants legend. And in my opinion, a first ballot Hall of Famer. So that's what I will do at quarterback, running back. Do we bring Saquon Barkley back? Me, I would have to say no. And that is something I thought I would never say. Saquon Barkley, he would use up too many resources. And what I mean by resources, money. The Giants are going to need that money to work on that offensive line. Just like the quarterback and basically the entire offense. They are dependent on that offensive line. And Barkley would use up money that can be used to sign an established free agent on the offensive line. You're not going to fix the offensive line through the draft. You may get a piece that can start, but you're going to have to depend on free agency. And of course, the coaching staff and the players. You're going to have to depend on the players we currently have to step it up. And you know, if Evan Neal doesn't change as a player, and if he doesn't improve with this new offensive line coach, then he is in danger of being a bust and possibly moving to another position that he wasn't drafted for. Evan Neal, before he got injured, he played really well against the Raiders. Crosby, he gives any offensive lineman fits. And even though he had some help, there were moments where Evan Neal faced off against Crosby one-on-one and held his own. It wasn't until, I believe, the last offensive drive of the game for the New York Giants where Crosby did a freaking bull rush that caught Evan Neal off guard, and he freaking injures his ankle and never returned after that game, after the game against the Raiders. He injured both, I believe he injured both freaking ankles this season. So is there an issue where his weight, I mean, he has a freaking, his lower body is strong and big enough to hold his weight. So it's not like there's an issue with his frame. But maybe Evan Neal can afford to lose maybe 10 pounds, 10 to 15 pounds, get quicker with his feet. He is strong. He's a strong kid. He's athletic for his freaking size. He's a freak of nature. And he wants to play. He wants to be better. So that combination is always a positive, but sometimes the player isn't that good. I would like to believe that it was an issue with coaching style, injuries that he couldn't get over, because there was a nice span where Evan Neal was playing good, especially after he made that comment about the, you know, burger flippers and everything. So I still have some belief in Evan Neal. And then Josh Azudu, to his credit, he had to play left tackle while freaking Andrew Thomas was out. And for the most part, he did way better than I expected, but the last few games that he did start, you can see his deficiencies. You can see that teams were figuring him out, and he was getting destroyed. Will that benefit him at guard? Can he... He got injured, so maybe, you know, we got to see how he returns from that injury. It's a second season in a row where he ended his season with an injury. Is he going to be one of those players that we can't depend on, a la Ojulari, where we see some talent, but he can't stay on the field? Do the Giants want to deal with that, take a chance that they don't draft a guard or bring in a free agent guard that can start, most importantly, because they feel they have Azudu? In my opinion, you can't do that. You need to bring in the competition. Let Azudu beat out whoever you bring in, and that will benefit the New York Giants, first and foremost. JMS at center, we have someone there that can stay there for some years. He had his ups and downs, but for the most part, he played as advertised. He's only going to get better. And then right guard. You had Bredesen, who was, you know, he's Bredesen. To me, Bredesen is more of a backup. You're going to have to bring somebody in, another guard. You know, you have McKeithen come in, and he had a promising game against the Cardinals, but then you saw his deficiencies. And to be fair for McKeithen, this was officially his rookie season. Because his official rookie season, he was on injured reserve the entire season. So this was his first experience playing NFL football. So I would give him some leeway. You know, there were times where he dominated with his strength and size, and then there were times where his feet were slow and he's like grabbing. And plus, he had to go up against some really tough defensive linemen. So we'll see with McKeithen. Can he build on a promising season? He did show some promise. Worst case scenario, McKeithen could be a solid swing guard. That's all you can hope for him. I don't think he would be starting material unless he lost some weight and his feet are just, you know, like 50% better than what they were this season. And then, of course, I mentioned Evan Neal at right tackle. He needs to he needs to step his game up. I mean, you have Azudu, you have Evan Neal, two guys that during their first two seasons have not been able to play an entire season. That, to me, more than anything, for Evan Neal, is a concern. And then tight end. We thought Bellinger was going to have a breakout season. And then, of course, you get Darren Waller, and we all had images of Mark Bavaro-type numbers. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Waller, I believe, had just one touchdown this season. He had his issue with the hamstring, so he was out about four games or something. Bellinger, he's a good blocker. And last season, he had, well, his rookie season, he had dependable hands. This season, maybe just everybody was off, because Bellinger didn't look like the same tight end that we saw as a rookie. Granted, he had a different role. So the Giants needed an upgrade at tight end. I believe Waller is a free agent. Do you bring him back? In my opinion, no, you don't bring him back. He's going to demand some money. And he didn't necessarily... There was only one play where I saw that explosiveness that I saw during training camp. But there were times when he caught the ball and he looked like, you know, like slow. I'm like, man, I don't know. What's going on with Darren Waller? Of course, that could be the freaking hamstring. So once again, do you deal with a player who is not dependable from a health point, from a health standpoint? I don't want the Giants dealing with that at all. Get rid of all that shit. And then wide receiver. Robinson, who showed some promise last season as a rookie, he stepped his game up this season, and he has shown that he is a weapon. The kid has a good future if he can stay healthy. Robinson looks like a dangerous weapon for the New York Giants. I'm very pleased with what I saw out of Robinson. Coming out of the backfield as a runner, catching short passes, making people miss, catching the ball and running for extra yards. I mean, he was doing it all. And he's tough. He's aggressive. That's the type of player that the New York Giants need. You know, he's like a... He has that attitude like McConkey. You know, like he's going to hype up the crowd. He's going to be tough. He's going to jump and get tackled, flip in the air, and then bounce back up. The Giants need that type of player. And then we had Jalin Hyatt, who we all said, oh my God, Jalin Hyatt with Darren Waller, Saquon Barkley, oh my God, this offense is going to be dangerous. Boy, were we wrong. Jalin Hyatt has that speed that defenses are going to respect. Towards the end of the season, he was dropping some easy passes. But then again, he was also making some freaking athletic and difficult catches while having defenders draped all over him. He's a big play waiting to happen, and I really wanted to see him score a few touchdowns. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But he is a very humble kid. He's a hard worker. I have full faith that Jalin Hyatt is going to come back next season with more muscle. He's going to work on his skill set. And the kid is going to be a legitimate starting wide receiver. I have faith that that is going to happen. But is he a potential number one alpha dog wide receiver? No. No, I don't see that. But I could see him as the second starting wide receiver that is going to challenge the defense and force the defense to pay attention to him when he goes deep so that it opens up the middle of the field. So who else do we have as wide receivers? Is Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, Slayton, I believe, is a free agent. I would like to see him back. He, once again, led the Giants in receiving. I would like to see Slayton back. He's a tough kid. Tough, hard worker. He's a player with a good attitude. He is someone that is worthy of that New York Giants name. But the Giants got to build up that wide receiver core. Do they draft Harrison at number 6 if he's there? There's the kid out of LSU, Neighbors. They say he's really good as well. So do the Giants do that? Do the Giants say, hey, you know what? We need big-time weapons that are going to be there every snap and demand the attention of the defense. Do they go that route? Or do they do it via free agency? Once again, if you don't have the line, and then you don't have the confidence in quarterback, alpha dog wide receiver really ain't going to do shit. So the offense, and I did talk about Saquon Barkley. I believe the only running back is the rookie that we drafted. And once again, I apologize. I can't remember his name right now. He didn't get a lot of rushes. So we really don't know what he can do. Now, running backs, you can draft a late round running back. Look at Pacheco, you know, look at Ahmed Bradshaw from back in the day. Even Brandon Jacobs was like a 4th round pick. You can draft running backs a little later and have them. Eric Gray is the only running back on the roster, I believe. You can draft a running back or bring in some free agents. So I'm not worried about the running back position that much. Would I love to see Saquon back? Yes, but Saquon is going to demand some money. And honestly, as someone who is a fan of Saquon Barkley, I would like to see him go to a team that is legitimately ready for a Super Bowl run. And I would like to see him holding up a Lombardi trophy. He's a good guy, a very talented player. Unfortunately, he's on a bad team. And the injuries don't help. You put him like on the Ravens. You put him on a team like the Dolphins. I mean, Barkley can be used anywhere. I would like to see that happen for Barkley. But that means we're going to have to bring in some running backs via free agency in the draft. But if the line is established, the running back position will work. So on offense, the Giants have a lot of freaking work. A lot. And there's the potential risk that they're going to lose Kafka, which means there's another offensive coordinator for Daniel Jones. There's a new system Daniel Jones needs to learn again. Yada, yada, yada. Which could bring up another scenario where they say, you know what, Daniel Jones, he's with a new coordinator. Give him a chance. We need to see how he works out. Give him 2 seasons. Nah. Those days are over for me. Bring in someone to challenge Daniel Jones legitimately. After seeing what guys like Mahomes and Allen and Stroud, even Jordan Love, seeing how they could fucking flick their wrist and make these crazy ass throws with pressure in their face, that's what I need. I want to see that out of my quarterback. Daniel Jones has a good skill set that he can make some plays with his feet. And he can make some passes. But there's something mentally that is lacking with Daniel Jones. It's either he doesn't trust his offensive line because he would know them better than we do, or he doesn't trust the receivers that were there. Either way, offensively, the New York Giants have a lot of work to do. And maybe they'll get some more assets, more draft capital, and maybe they build up through there and free agency. We'll see. It should be another fun offseason for the New York Giants. And there'll be a lot of freaking quote-unquote draft gurus that pop up out of nowhere on YouTube and on Twitter. I avoid all that bullshit. I stick with the same people. And there are so many people echoing the same shit, swearing they have this knowledge. It's funny. It's really funny. But anyway, I'm going to wrap it up. This has been a long episode. You guys take care. Enjoy the off season. I'll talk to you later.